My guest at this time is former United States Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. We've asked him to join us today to talk about a number of different developments as it relates to the efforts to fight radical Islamic terrorism, particularly the fight against ISIS, and some of the many distractions that seem to be coming up as the threat intensifies. And Mr. Ambassador, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, glad to do it. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the way things are going in the Middle East. For the most part, it seems like the number one U.S. goal is to get rid of Assad in Syria. The number one goal of Russia is to get rid of the, first of all, the moderate Syria rebels, if there are any, but the non-ISIS rebels that are threatening Assad. And it looks like Turkey is most interested in tamping down the Kurds. So how intense is the fight against ISIS right now?
Well, I don't think it's intense at all. I think the biggest problem the United States faces is the confusion in the administration's own strategy. It proposes different things that are simply contradictory to one another, and then even when it thinks it has an objection, like getting rid of Assad or battling ISIS, it doesn't do anywhere near enough to accomplish any of the objectives. And I think this is something the Russians, the Iranians have seen. They've seen this American weakness and lack of attention, and that's why they've honed in to try and support the Assad regime and advance their own interests. So I think in general you can say across the Middle East that chaos is spreading, which is not good for the United States, and that others are taking advantage of our lack of interest is the best way to describe it, certainly our lack of willingness to do what's necessary to protect our friends and our interests.
Is Russia any more serious about ISIS since the destruction of the airliner over the Sinai?
Well, I think Russia, you just said it exactly right. Russia's main interest in its recent intervention and its larger role in the region is to buttress the Assad regime. I think that at a time of Vladimir Putin's choosing, they will retaliate brutally against ISIS for that act of terrorism against the civilians on that passenger airliner. And I think if it would help Assad, they'll attack ISIS targets. They have already, although to a very limited extent in Syria. Really, Putin has a very long game that he's playing here. He wants to replace the United States as the principal external power in the Middle East. He doesn't know who's going to win our election next year, but he knows he's got another year of Obama to take advantage of, and that's what he's doing, not just in the conflict in Syria, but in the broader Middle East as a whole.
Let me follow up with one more question on Russia and Turkey. Obviously, several days ago, the Turkish military shot down a Russian plane. That has led to a lot of tense rhetoric with the Russians accusing the Turks of facilitating ISIS oil trade, and then the president of Turkey saying that if that's proven true, he'd resign. But if Putin's found out to be lying about that, then Putin ought to resign. And once again, it seems like the two countries are focusing on each other rather than perhaps a more imminent threat in the region. How serious do you think this is likely to get?
Well, I think tensions are high between Russia and Turkey. There's a long history there, dating back to the conflict between the Russian Empire and the Ottoman Empire. But I think right now Turkey's faced with threats on a variety of fronts, and it sees this new Russian power, the air base in Latakia, as a real threat behind where it normally confronts Russia across the Black Sea. It's very worried about ISIS. It's worried about the Assad regime's continuation in power. Turkey's policies are almost as confused as the Obama administration's, and it's another example of where the lack of American leadership allows, in this case, a NATO alliance member to come effectively unglued from its NATO connection.
I know you're not a military tactician, Mr. Ambassador, but what do you think would be the most effective approach? Some have said overwhelming air power in conjunction with largely using the Peshmerga as the ground troops could be very effective against ISIS. Others have come up with other ideas, including more U.S. special forces, which it sounds like the defense secretary is warming up to, at least during his congressional testimony this week. So what do you think would be most effective?
Well, I think what we've got to acknowledge here is that the Middle East, as we've known it since the end of World War One, has basically come apart. I think the Kurds are functionally independent in Iraq and now in Syria. I think they will fight ISIS, but really only to preserve the boundaries of what they see as an independent Kurdistan. Now, that's to our interest, and we should help them, but I don't think they'd be much of a an ally in the bigger fight. I think the United States has got to mobilize a political alliance, including all of the Gulf Arab monarchies, the oil-producing states, Turkey, the Kurds, and Egypt, for that matter. And it's going to require American leadership, because we're the only ones that can pull these disparate countries together. It's going to require American boots on the ground, and it's going to require taking territory that ISIS now holds. We cannot leave them, even with a small state, because that, as it has been already, will be a magnet for terrorists from all over the world. The real issue is what we do after we defeat ISIS. I've proposed creating a new state, because the Sunnis of Western Iraq are not going to happily go back under the authority of Baghdad, which is now controlled by Iran, and the Sunnis in Syria are not going to go back under Assad's control. So we need something else for them. I think a new state's the answer. But, you know, all of this is pure theory, because for the next 13-plus months, Barack Obama isn't going to do anything like what we need to do to achieve the objective he himself has stated, which is destruction of ISIS.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, and you mentioned President Obama. He was in Paris earlier this week and raised a lot of eyebrows when he said this at the opening of the climate change conference.
And we salute the people of Paris for insisting this crucial conference go on. An act of defiance that proves nothing will deter us from building the future we want for our children. What greater rejection of those who would tear down our world than marshaling our best efforts to save it.
Sir, what do you make of his characterization that the best possible rebuke to ISIS was to hold this conference?
Well, the president has said a lot of silly things in the last 7 years, but this ranks right at the top. I mean, obviously, it is a tribute to France and to the city of Paris to hold the conference, but if it were a conference on tiddlywinks, it would be just as significant. The idea that climate change is the top issue that confronts the world, and by the way, the only way to deal with climate change is what Barack Obama proposes, which is what his real message is just flatly wrong. And I think the overwhelming majority of the American people understand that. He doesn't, and that's why you get these kinds of statements.
Mr. Ambassador, you also mentioned that we'll see what happens when we get a new president. It looks like Hillary Clinton is the likely Democratic nominee at this point. You thought about running for president, ultimately decided not to do it. As you look at the most viable or likely presidential candidates, presidential nominees on the Republican side, who, in your mind, is articulating the best foreign policy vision right now?
Well, I think with a couple of exceptions, most of the Republicans understand that America's place in the world has got to be one of strength to preserve our way of life here at home. I haven't really picked any of the Republican candidates, and I said I don't really want to be the S&P rating service on each of them either. At some point, I'm sure I will endorse somebody, but my interest right now, which I think you can see the voters responding to all over the country, is they want to hear more from all the candidates on what their national security views are. We'll know more from this tragedy in California yesterday what the real cause of it is, but I think 2016 is going to be a national security election. I think it's in effect dictated by conditions around the world, and I think it's entirely appropriate, because the first duty of government is to protect the people. It's the first job of the president. Sure, there are a lot of other issues, but they're all secondary if the country's not safe. And so that's why I think the Republicans need to nominate the strongest candidate we can on that issue. And I think it's going to be a main issue of debate with Hillary Clinton, who may have the resume of knowledge in foreign policy, but whose views are completely misguided.
Mr. Ambassador, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Well, thanks again for having me.
You bet. Former United States Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.